Why is it that one product will resonate with a group of consumers while a similar one just can't quite catch on? It's a sort of dilemma you can imagine Don Draper and Peggy Olson trying to hash out in an episode of Mad Men. And it turns out it was a dilemma for a major tobacco company trying to figure out why Detroit smokers were so loyal to the competition, in this case, Cool cigarettes in the 1970s. Steve Neveling is an investigative journalist who discovered this bit of tobacco and marketing history and wrote about it for Motor City Muckraker. Hi, Steve.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
What led you to look at this piece of smoking and marketing history from 40 years ago?
Well, I was actually just doing some research on the connection between marijuana use and cool cigarettes, and I noticed that there was a recently archived letter from an executive from Philip Morris who had actually written about this very subject while coming to Detroit in the early 1970s to determine why people were so loyal to cool cigarettes.
You find this letter, a guy named Al Udall writing, he works for Philip Morris, and he's writing basically to the boss. Was he testing Detroiters' responses to the possible potential product that Philip Morris wanted to put up against Cools, which, by the way, we should note was made by competitor R.J. Reynolds?
That's right, yeah, yeah. And Philip Morris actually really wanted a piece of this market, and because Cool was really taking off at the time. They had a large African-American section. At the time, Philip Morris considered the hip crowd or the in crowd. And they had their own cigarette, and they wanted to figure out if Detroiters would consider changing from Cools, their favorite cigarette, to something that they called menthol fat. And Detroiters just hated the idea. They thought that menthol fats had a negative connotation because of the word fat. So women didn't like that association.
I can imagine that's true. I wouldn't like it either.
Yeah, I can't. It was a very odd name. And other Detroiters have said, because this cigarette was a little bit wider than your typical menthol cigarette. So people thought this wouldn't be very relaxing. You get too much of a blast of menthol. So they overwhelmingly said there's no way they would smoke the cigarette.
What was the connection with pot smoking and cool cigarettes?
Well, this is according to Philip Morris, and they found that there was this very strong correlation between cool customers and marijuana smokers. And they weren't really able to figure out what exactly it was, but people who whom they spoke with about smoking Cools also spoke about liking marijuana. And when Philip Morris said, well, why do you like to smoke cool cigarettes so much with marijuana? And they said, you know, it's refreshing. It takes away the cotton feeling in the throat, that it even has a sort of reefer-like smell to it. And they even liked to take the cool tobacco and mix it up with marijuana and smoke it in a joint. So there was a very loyal audience when it came to both smoking pot and, well, I should say, there's a strong correlation between pot smokers at the time and cool cigarettes. And the interesting thing about this research that they did is they found out that cool smokers were overwhelmingly on the lower socioeconomic rung, and that a lot of these people that they spoke with started smoking cigarettes at the age of 10 years old. And the average, I think they said, was around 15 years old. So you had these kids who were growing up, were taught to like Cools, they thought it was the hip thing to do. And you had, you know, essentially a Southern white executive coming up here trying to figure out, how can we be the in crowd in Detroit? And there's no way they could figure it out.
And did Philip Morris ever manage to crack that Detroit market?
No, it doesn't really look like they did. It's unclear what they ever did with this study, if they did anything. But in the letter, they said, we don't know what action, if any, we can take based on this information. And, you know, in Detroit, Newports are very popular, which is not a Philip Morris brand. So at some point, Cools sort of gave way to Newports in the Detroit market.
What do you think this all says about the culture of Detroit in the 1970s?
I think that people in the 1970s, and I've talked to a lot of people about the story after those who experienced and went through the 1970s and smoked coal cigarettes. It was a new age, and people were beginning to loosen up and listening to new kinds of music, and marijuana was becoming available. And it was also unique that you had this was a product that was predominantly appealed to African Americans, and that's something that people still can't figure out why that's the case. But interestingly enough, it's a really interesting cultural effect in Detroit.
Are cools still big today, or has that moment waned?
Yeah, cools have diminished quite a bit. In fact, it's hard to find cool smokers anymore. You'll find among menthol smokers, you'll find mostly Newport, maybe. You'll see some Marlboro menthols, but cool cigarettes definitely aren't the in cigarette anymore, if there even is an in cigarette anymore in Detroit.
Steve Neveling is an investigative journalist who wrote for Motor City Muckraker, looking into Detroit smokers' love affair with cool cigarettes in the 1970s. Steve, thanks so much for talking with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.